to join me in a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Okay, we're going to start off with a test here now this morning. It's been about 4 weeks since we've been together. So, how are you doing? Oh, you passed. Good job. Good job. Today is the 4th of July, and it's a day of being reminded of many things. One of the reasons why I've taken as a personal policy and any message that I preach is to start off, if it's the very first time, to say, so how are you doing? You know, explain the purpose and the reason for that reminder, also to respond with, we're blessed or I'm blessed, because that's a good reminder too. It could have been since we were last together. You've had some of the greatest days in your life. Could have been since we're last together. Maybe things haven't gone so smoothly. But in either case, you are always blessed. I am always blessed. During this time of a 4th of July celebration too, there's talk of freedom. There's that time spent with family. Of course, there's likely 4th of July fireworks that'll happen later tonight. And what's the response to that? Ooh, ah, that's my favorite. So you're all prepared for that now, too. All part of the celebration. It's good to celebrate. It's good to have those fireworks displays that we can ooh and ah over. It's good to spend time with family. Well, mostly, anyway. Sometimes family can be challenging, but they're still family. It's good to remember our freedom also and what it cost for us to have such freedom. There's something that we developed in our family years back. Actually, this was, well, it's more than 30 years back as I think of it. Because it was at my first call at the church that I went to serve after graduating from seminary in Michigan. And it was during a 4th of July weekend, and we just started a prayer for the meal saying, thank you, Jesus, for our food. Well, then because it was the 4th of July, we added, thank you, Jesus, for our food and our freedom. Well, fast forward now to today that the prayer has become, without intent of using words that begin with the same letter, but here's the full prayer that we often use. Thank you, Jesus, for our food, our freedom, our family and friends, for each other, for your faithfulness, and for eyes of faith. Amen. That doesn't mean it's the end of the sermon, but that was the end of that prayer. I thought if I say amen, it's like we're going to have people standing up and think, well, the next thing is ready, so we're going to move on. It's that same type of thing of repeating the things that I'm thankful for. The freedom, the food that's set before us, family that's sitting around us, for one another, for faithfulness, for His faithfulness. If we ever think about how God deals with us, faithfulness has to be in that explanation someplace along the line. And for eyes of faith. Sometimes the journey is tough. I want to ask for a show of hands because I know what the answer to that question is. Has life ever been hard for you? I expect every hand would go up in the whole gathering here this morning. Yep, there was a hand there. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Faithfulness and eyes of faith help us to continue putting one foot in front of another. We don't always see where the path is going to lead. We might like to, but we don't see what the next step. In fact, I remember over the years seeing an author who wrote a book, Just Enough Light for the Step That I'm On. In other words, that's the way the Father does. He gives us enough light so that as we take a step forward, we can see where we're putting our foot right here. We're not seeing down the road. We're not seeing the path that lies ahead. We're not seeing all the obstacles, all the joys, all the things that we will encounter and face. And when you think about God's faithfulness and his grace to us and his kindness, that's probably a good thing. If we knew all of the things that the challenges that we would face, we might not even leave the house that particular day. Being reminded of how God treats us and how he deals with us is a good thing. Being reminded that we're blessed. Being reminded that he has granted us freedoms. And even more so, that he has granted us freedom in Christ, in Jesus Christ, his Son. And that because of that, we can be believers. We can be connected with God's family. We can be part of him. As he says, these are my children. This is my family. In the gospel lesson today, Jesus is going back home. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how that went with his family. He was teaching in a house, and people were gathered around because the word had spread. And his family thought, he's out of his mind. Remember I said earlier about being around family is good, mostly? They thought Jesus was off his rocker, and they came to collect him and take him. It'll be okay, Jesus. Come on, it's a little bit radical we've been getting here, but you know it'll be okay. Just come on home with us. That's the way his family reacted. Well, now he's coming home another time, and things still are not going very smoothly. It says that he went home, and his disciples followed him. He went to the synagogue to teach, which was no surprise. He often did that. And the people there that heard him say, where in the world does he get all of this wisdom? And something that you don't see quite in the text, it wasn't kind of a question mark. Where is he getting this? It was more like this. Where is he getting this? There was a little hostility built in to their reaction to him and his teaching. The hometown folks had said, well, who does he think he is? It was that type of response, that type of reaction. After all, it's like, we know him. Nazareth was a town of about 400 or 500 people, and everyone knew everyone. Know of any place like that? No? Okay, well, maybe we'll help you out one day. I just remember that's all family over there. It wasn't that large of a town. And when the people heard Jesus teaching in the synagogue that day, they kind of put their hands on him and said, where does he get all of this? They said, this is Mary's son. This is the carpenter. I bought a table from him recently. Where does he get all this wisdom? Who does he think he is? His brothers and his sisters are here. We know them all. We might say in our little more modern language, is like, what's the deal here anyway with him? What makes him so special? Who does he think he is? Sometimes we might hate to admit it, but the principle repeats itself. We see that in Scripture told, but sometimes we see that in our own lives too. The principle is repeated in John 15, verse 18. Jesus there in that setting is speaking. He says, if the world hates you, no surprise at that, don't be concerned about that because the world hated me first. The prophets that have come before you, it's like, they were hated because of the message. They brought God's message to the people, and it wasn't always easily received. Being a prophet was a tough job. Sometimes it meant your life. We have no idea how many times we, as believers, might not want to admit this, but we think we maybe know a little bit better than God does. Well, I've been a faith and believer for all of my life. For a long time, I've had faith and followed Jesus. I've been a member of that great church over there, Zion, and Shum, is that how you pronounce it? Okay. Remember, I'm an out-of-towner, so yeah, give me a little grace. I'm a member of that church over there, and I've been in faith for a long time. How much more do I need to know? Our need is to come and approach faith and approach the Father and the Savior like a little child. A child doesn't know and a child doesn't understand because their world is an entire experience of learning. A child is trusting, wanting to reach out to an adult or a mother or a father and hold their hand. Because when I do, I feel safe and I feel secure. To be able to crawl up into someone's lap and they put their arms around you and I feel safe. In the Bible study, it made mention of that, and I said, no one has to raise their hand on this. But sometimes, even as grown-ups, wouldn't you like to crawl up into somebody's lap and just have them put their arms around you and not have to be an adult for just a little while? A child is trusting. A child is believing. A child just says, show me. Teach me, Father. Draw me closer to you, Father. Show me the wonders that you want me to know and that you want me to learn. Because that's the type of Heavenly Father that we have. Paul talks about in his books, too. He said, we can call the Father Abba. That term Abba is an endearing term, like a child looking up to his father and saying, Daddy. We can call the Heavenly Father, Daddy. It's that type of intimacy that He wants with us. And He doesn't want us to be thinking of Him as a father that stands up in heaven, tapping His foot with His hands on His shoulders, saying, well, it's about time they got it right. No hands on the hips. The Father just says, and we see this by His example of His Son Jesus, come to me. His arms are open wide. He is welcoming. He is wanting to receive us. God is always a perfect gentleman. The Father is always a gentleman in that He never forces His way into our life. He never pushes. He never makes us. But He wants us to come. If you're weary, come. If you're weighed down, come. And He says, and I will give you rest. It's Matthew 11, verse 28, if you wanted to know where Jesus speaks that. And when He says, come to me with all of the things that you have, with all of the weights that you have, and I will give you rest, it's the same as if He would say to us, come to me, and I'll give you everything else that you need. I'll give you the security that you seek. I'll give you the peace that you desire. I'll give you that settledness. I'll give you that security like someone wrapping their arms around me. I'll give you that sense that you have a freedom in my Son, Jesus, that can only come through Him. And that freedom is to be able to say, Daddy, Heavenly Father. And He listens with attentive ears when we do that. You see, the Father took the first step to healing and mending a broken relationship. Whose broken relationship? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because it was your broken relationship. It was my broken relationship with the Father. See, when we come into this world, we're really enemies of God. Because we're sinful human beings. But the Father took the first step toward us. Because we were separated from the Father because of sin, and the Bible tells us that, it says in a place where Paul writes again, it said the wages of sin, in other words, the wages that we earn, is death. But, I've got to explain to you about but. That's an important word there. When but is used in a phrase or a sentence or a paragraph, everything that was said before that is now changed. So with that in mind, let me read that again. The wages of sin is death. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But while we, in a sense, were still sinning, Christ took care of that broken relationship. And he reached out to us and he said, come to me. I just want to be close to you. I want you to be close to me. I want to spend time with you. I care about you. I love you so much. There's a song that's played on Christian radio. The writer of the song is Ryan Stevenson, and the name of the song is just called The Gospel. And what I like so much about that song is right in the middle of the song, as he's singing the phrases, he stops and he speaks this phrase in the middle of the song. And I love it because the truth of it, the theology of it, is so great. Listen to what it says. The amazing news of the gospel is not that we can receive Jesus into our lives, but that he has already received us into his. See, when Jesus came and he died on the cross, but that changed everything. That changed the condition that we had to a new condition that we were given. Another song, that's a hymn from a long time ago. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed me white as snow. This weekend, we will talk a lot about freedom. We will enjoy freedom. We will speak of that, and rightly so. It's good to remember. It's good to be reminded what it is and what it takes. It's also good to be reminded what we already have. That freedom in Christ because of his work on the cross and his open arms to us saying, just come to me. I want to be near you. Just like the reminder at the beginning of the message, so how are you doing? Good. I wasn't sure how that was going to go, but you did well on it. You passed the test again. We are blessed, reminding ourselves of the freedom that he gives us through his son, Jesus. During this time, this might be a good weekend to lean back into the lavish love of the Father. Let it surround you. Let it embrace you. His arms are open wide to draw us close. Enjoy the freedom that you have in Christ. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you this morning that you have reminded us once more of your open arms that are extended to us to just hear your words, come to me and I will give you rest. Thank you, Father, for the freedoms that you have given us as your family members, the freedom that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for our country and the freedoms that we hold in it. We ask you to shore it up, to correct those places of evil, and to let your power shine through in mightier ways. Thank you, Father, most of all, for the lavish love that you pour on us. Let it surround us, let it embrace us, let it draw us closer so that we can hear your beating heart in your chest and know that we're safe and secure. For all these things, Father, we give you thanks, and we pray it in the name of Jesus, our Lord, and all of God's people said, amen.